This mystery is that the Gentiles and our fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. That according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do stand on your word. We thank you, Lord God, for the gift that you give us of your holy word. We thank you that you've opened it up to the Gentile nations, of which we are part of that. We thank you that you gave your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross, be raised up again, and that in our repentance and belief in him, Lord God, we come to faith in you. We thank you for that, Lord. I pray now that my words would be encouraging, edifying, and be solely from the Holy Spirit, less of Tim, but all of you. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. The title for my sermon is Our Mysterious Faith, or Is It? Now, Ryan talked a little bit about some of the faith examples I was going to use. You know, I got up this morning, I got the gas stove going, made my eggs, popped the toast in the toaster, hoping it would all work, because otherwise I'd be hungry. But no, I didn't know that would work. I went to bed last night expecting I will wake up this morning. I got up to I bought a new truck in December. And it's got one of these. Where's the key? Just wondering. I'm like, how does this thing work? I don't know. I don't get it. But I had faith that I'd be able to get here this morning to be able to preach here. So, you know, we use faith in so many ways and so many times and so many areas of our life without even thinking about it. And now we talk about our Christian faith. Let's think about that. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith is trusting something you cannot prove. That's what faith means a lot of times. Now, some of the things I mentioned earlier, we can prove out, you know, by intellect, prove out by science, by technology. But when we speak about our spiritual faith, we also as believers, Jesus Christ, have to have that same firm persuasion, expectation that God will perform all that he has promised to us in his holy word and through Jesus Christ. Faith has always been the benchmark, if you will, of a believer from the beginning of times and throughout until the end of times, so we spoke about this morning's Bible study on Revelation. Faith is the regenerating spirit of God to all of us believers who are living under and in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I think when I think of faith, there's two ways we can take a look at that. We can take a look at an intellectual faith, faith with our minds, with our brains, and our intellect will convince us that something is true. But then we have to have that, but we also have to have a trust part of our faith. And our trust is going to rely on the truth that we're going to have faith in. Make sense? You know, because there are going to be some that will intellectually agree about some of the facts of the Bible. They'll go, yeah, okay, yeah, that was true. Yeah, okay, that happened. Sure. They'll intellectually agree, but will they trust in those things? Believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, died on the cross, was risen again to provide salvation to each and every one of us who will call on his name, repent of our sins, and to come to him, that is our saving faith. There are those who will say, well, I believe that there was this Jesus. And there'll be some of those that will say, well, yeah, he did die on that cross, and yeah, okay, God raised him. They may say, okay, that's true, but they not believe it. There's a difference. James 2:19, this verse always kind of scares me, just says, you believe that there is one God? You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. See, that's how powerful our God is, okay? And Satan knows that Jesus is the Son of God. He knows he died on the cross. He knows that God raised him again. He knows those things, but he doesn't believe in those things. And that's the crux. That's a cross point, if you will, okay? That's a cross point, if you will. The faith God requires of us for salvation is belief in what the Bible says about who Jesus is and what he accomplished for each and every one of us, and that we fully trust in Jesus and in that salvation. And true faith will always be followed and is part of repentance of our sins as well. That's faith. That's saving faith that each of us has as believers in Jesus Christ. And this faith grows in our Christian life. Now, when I became a Christian, if God would have given me everything all at one time, I couldn't have handled it. You know, my head would have gone like, poof, exploded in dust. You know that commercial, it's got like that blue, and I don't know what commercial it is, but the guy says it'll blow apart. That'd be us. Poof. David, poof. You know, Jamie, poof. We'd all be just kind of poofing when it all come to us because we couldn't take that. I love that God works through us in our faith throughout the whole life that he gives us here on this earth until we come home to heaven. As our faith, we're to do what? We're to believe what the Bible says. Infallible, inerrant, word of God. Amen? We are to obey what the Bible says. We are to believe, proclaim the promises of the Bible. That's strong. You can do that as a believer. You can claim the promises of the Bible, of our God, in your life. Sometimes we as Christians don't do enough of that. We can claim those promises. True faith will transform a person from a sinner into a saint. Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please him, meaning God. We have to have that faith. We know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Faith and belief lead to that salvation. I'm going to say John 10:10 here, again, going back to our Bible study, just add, the thief, who's the thief? Satan, the enemy, comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came, Jesus came, that they may have life and have it abundantly. Without faith, our Christian life will not be what God intends it to be for us. The life I had before I was a Christian, totally different than what it is today. The life that I had before I was a Christian was not the life God had deemed for me or wanted me to be a part of. This is the life he wants me to be. Yours is the life that he wants you to be as well, too. Now, to the non-believer, our Christian faith, they laugh at us, don't they, sometimes? They can mock us. They don't understand it. There's churches, denominations out there that will keep the faith thing or their church thing a mystery to them, to the congregation, to the followers. A cult will only reveal little by little by little, never knowing what the real end game is going to be, because it can just reveal a little bit at a time. We've had everything revealed to us in God's holy word. I love that we live at this time in our lives, you know, that we've got the whole story. I like that, okay? I remember growing up in the Catholic Church. That I'm going to age myself here, but when I first started going to Catholic school at the church, it was said in Latin. Latin? I don't know Latin. So we just went by what the priest would tell us. That's all we knew. Our human mind, sinful as it is, you know, it's always reaching out for something, anything, to try and grasp what this world's all about, to try and grasp the meaning of life, to try and grasp what would make sense, if you will. And sometimes instead of believing in God and Christ and the Holy Spirit, we want to reach out to other things of the world. I think of the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve, it was their lack of faith that let them be convinced by the serpent to eat of the fruit. If they would have had full faith in God's, what he told them, they would have said, get out of here. But they had a lack of faith, did they not? I'm not picking on them because I have a lack of faith too. We all have lacks of faith at times. The Israelites in the desert, okay, Moses leads them out. God leads them out. Miracles, part of the Red Sea. pillar of cloud by day, pillar of fire at night. Go to Mount Sinai. He's gone for 40 days, getting the Ten Commandments, communion with God. What does Aaron and the others do down there? They cast a golden calf. They go, here's the one that led us out of Egypt. Really? We can so easily grasp at wrong things. Today, we've got people grasping at so many things today. Evolution, still been grasping at that. Psychics are out there. Tarot card readers are out there. Horoscopes are out there. There's aliens out there. There's zombies. There's vampires. There's all this crazy stuff that people think, this is it. This is true. This is what's going on here. But see, Christ has taken away the real mystery for us. But do we have the eyes to see and the ears to hear? So 3 points about our mysterious faith, or is it, is that, first of all, it's a spiritual faith, okay? We should thank God, and I do thank God that I was born at this time, because we've got the full story in the Bible. We know the beginning, we know the end, we know the way. Christ is preached very prominently in many churches. This one, thankfully, is one of those. And we're Gentiles. And Jesus opened up himself to all of us as Gentiles as well, too, to get out of the Israel nation. It's been revealed to us. And when I do read the Bible, when I think of the apostles, I think of the men and women who saw Jesus in the flesh, who followed him, who saw him killed, who saw him raised up, who saw him ascended up into heaven. And it's written about in the book. Those are eyewitnesses, believers and saints who died for what they saw. That encourages me. Because you see, well, let me ask this. Anybody seen Jesus lately? No, we haven't. We don't see Jesus in the flesh. But yet, we believe in Jesus in the flesh, that he is alive in heaven right now. We believe and trust in the one that we have not seen. We trust in the witnesses of those who did see him, who are told about in the book of God. We trust in the holy words of God given to us in his Bible. We not always understand it. We sometimes have a hard time figuring some things out once in a while. But we do trust, we do obey as well as we can. That's our spiritual faith. That's us taking away from the outside, from the material, and bringing it to a spiritual faith. We learn from the faith of those before us. Hebrews 11, wonderful chapter in the book, talking about those men and women who had such faith in God before Jesus Christ came. When we come to faith and trust and belief in Jesus Christ at the cross and our repentance of our sins, we're transformed again into that spiritual faith. It's there. Do me a favor. Now, for myself, I came to Christ at the age of 28. Some of you came to Christ in later ages. Maybe some of you were just kind of known it your whole life, and that's cool. My wife was one of those, you know. God bless her. That's awesome, you know. She says, you got such a good testimony. I says, no, you got the testimony because you've got Christ your whole life, you know, and that's awesome. I envy that. But he will use us and how our life is led to him for his glory. But think back for a moment, for when it was your personal time when you came to know Christ, whatever age that was. Did you not feel a transformation in your life? Did you not feel something different? Did you not feel maybe the weight of your sin being taken off your shoulders? A peace that surpassed all understanding come over you? The love of the one who will never leave us come into our souls? We were different. The term born again. That's our spiritual faith. See, when that happens, and I love this, is that the Holy Spirit of God came and indwelt each and every one of us as believers. That's awesome. That we have the living God living in our souls, in our belief of Jesus Christ. That's spiritual. And that's our faith. The Old Testament reading strengthened my belief because I love that Old Testament reading because it really talks about the attributes, the power, the peace of the one whom we have our faith in. I don't know about you, but I need that peace. I need the peace of Jesus in my life, all that's going around here in this world. I'll end this point with this, is that when we become believers in Christ, we were then indwelt with the Holy Spirit, like I said, and we continue just to build upon that spiritual side of our faith. And it is growing time and time again. With the indwelt Spirit in us, we never have to feel alone. We never have to feel alone, both in the good times of life and the trials of life. This is a spiritual world. This is definitely a spiritual world. There's the good of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit and God. There's also the enemies out there roaming around. And there's a spiritual war and battle going with us all the time and warring for us to do. But the good news is, those of us as believers, that battle's won because we are Christ's. Now, our faith is also a developing faith. It develops day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, so on and so forth. Again, I said earlier, if we were given everything all at one time, we couldn't handle it. Who would have ever thought, I would never thought at my time of my coming to Christ, that I'd be behind a pulpit preaching, that I'd be going to different countries proclaiming the gospel of Christ, that I'd be going into jails, talking to inmates about Christ. I'd never believe that. You say that to me, I say, are you kidding me? And I'm glad he never told me that in the beginning because I would have ran away. And like you, you can't imagine what he's done in your life since you became a Christian. What I love and what I was taught early on is that you have to go to your comfort zone because you see, when you're out of your comfort zone, guess who's there? Jesus. Holy Spirit's there. God's there leading you. When we go to our comfort zone, we are developing our faith. God is working with us. We're seeing him work with us and in us and around us. And we get strength because of that as well, too. And that develops and strengthens us more to do what he would have us do. That my inner being, that our inner being, our soul, our heart will be strengthened, supported, and led by that Spirit. Even through the tough times, we're still going to hurt. We're still going to suffer. We're going to have enmity between our families at times. We'll go through times when God's going to refine us and purify us by skimming the impurities of our lives away. And when that happens, that's not comes without pain. You take silver, make silver to refine silver, they boil it, make it hot, and all the dross comes on top, right? Talks about it in the Bible, and that skims it away. Do you think when we get boiled, when our faith is being boiled, when we're being developed and we're being worked on through the Holy Spirit, and you get the skin or the dross taken away, the sin taken away from our lives, that hurts at times. Especially when we have to maybe look at something real closely and change something that we've done our whole life or for a long period of our life. Next week, Pastor will be talking about why does God allow suffering? Sometimes all suffering to bring us closer to him. Back in 2001, and I've been peeled many times by God. And I've been chastised by him too because I am a sinner. There was a time back in 2001 when he really laid me down. He really laid me low. And really revealed himself to me in a real powerful way because, see, I'd gotten away from him a bit. I had gotten into business, we're making money, I'm getting more worldly, getting kind of materially, kind of thinking that, you know, I'm the cat's pajamas, so on and so forth, and I'm not doing church, and I'm not in his word every day, and it's become about Tim. And God took that for a while. But then at one point, he laid me low. And I'll just call it what was a nervous breakdown is what it was. And for over 6 months, I could barely move out of my chair in the living room. All I could do, I had no energy, I had a lot of fear, anxieties, and the only thing that brought peace back to me was this. And I devoured his word for those 6 months. See, God put me into a desert to come back to the water of life. He developed my faith. Continues to develop my faith. He'll do that for all of us. So our faith and walk deepens and develops, and we're never finished developing. You know when a Christian retires? When he's in heaven. All right? We don't retire as Christians. We retire as businessmen, you know, but we don't retire as Christians. We continue to develop. We continue to walk the walk Christ gives us. I think of the verse from 2 Corinthians 10:3, "For though we walk in the flesh, we're not waging war according to the flesh. Our faith develops, and it's developed not through the world, but through the Holy Spirit." Like I say, we're clay in the Master's hands, and you know what? There's going to be battles. When I first became a Christian, my uncle, who was one of my spiritual mentors in the early days, he said to me, he says, "Timmy, as you're going through these tough times," he said, "and you use Christ to win those times, that's a battle won. And you use that one battle to strengthen yourself for the next battle coming down the road." And that's true. We don't know the battles are going to come in down the road from us at all. Our time in this world, as our faith grows, develops, these are preparing us for the glory ahead. Ours is a heart-centered faith. That's my final point. Read verse 17 through 19. "So that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." Now, we could preach probably 3 weeks on these verses right here. But I'm just going to boil it down to one thing, talking about being rooted and grounded in love. Because without love, there'd be no Jesus on the cross, right? Without love, the attraction that he had for me and for each one of us individually and personally, there would not have been the us coming to Christ and believing in him and repenting of our sins. It's hard to repent of your sins. Because you see, as humans, we don't want to let go of that stuff. There's pain involved with that at times. But our love for our God wants us to strive to do more of things for his will and for his ways. Without God's love, we would have no way to take away our sins ourselves, would we? There is no way we could earn our ways there. We know that. And without the Spirit's love for us as he indwells us, he continues to attract us to the one who saved us. It's heart-centered. It comes from our heart. Our brains can convince us of other things. Our heart and our soul, that's where we're at. With our love for Christ, we would not be able to grow in our faith and trust him. With our love for others, we would not be able to live a life that would glorify God. Without love, we'll not be able to learn all that God wishes to fill us with and teach us with. Without love, this would all be emptiness. It would all be for naught. Because, see, faith comes from believing in the love and the attributes of God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, and then taking them on into our lives and asking them into our heart, into our soul. I've been married to my wife for... she's not here right now. 34 years. She would have got me at the delay there. 34 years. And I have a very husbandly love for my wife. I love her. She's my best friend. She's my partner. It's all those things that a marriage brings. Okay? But also, she's my sister in Christ. Those of us who are married, we have that same dynamic. All right? Where we have the marriage bond. We also have, as co-believers, is the bond of being brothers and sisters in Christ as well, too. And I think that's really important for us as married people to remember that all the time. Because sometimes on the marriage side, we get all goofed up. But at the end of it, look at that person, your spouse, as being that brother or sister in Christ. That sure helps me when I'm mad at my wife. All right? Or mad at me when I start, you know, getting too judgmental. Or mad when I feel like, okay, my ego's been bruised or whatever. It's all about the heart. And the biggest heart is Christ's heart for us. So, is our faith a mystery? I would submit that it's not. I witness many people going through traumatic life issues, and we have those in our own church here today who've gone through their own traumatic life issues and have gone through these issues, these tribulations, these trials, with faith. Faith was not a mystery to them because they trusted in the one they could trust in. I've seen people at the end of their life dying and having such a love for Christ, a love for others, a peace that surpasses all understanding, and you go, that's faith. There's no mystery there. That's a fact. To the unbeliever, our faith doesn't make sense. But to you and I as believers, it does make sense. It's not a mystery. It's a fact. And it's personal to each and every one of us. Our faith comes from victory. Our faith is not the victory, but Jesus Christ is the victory for each of us. As you and I, we placed our faith in Him and Him alone. In the bulletin, our memory verse is Romans 5:2, which says, through Him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. So that tells it all right there. It says, we stand in grace and by faith because of who? Because of Jesus Christ. He is our justification. He is our hope. He is our Lord. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, that you are our hope, that you are our peace, that you provided the way to God, to heaven, through your death and through your resurrection. Thank you for your love that has no boundaries to it at all. I pray that in each of our lives that you would talk to us through your Holy Spirit, lead us in ways that would be glorifying you, continue to develop us, continue to strengthen us, continue to refine us in a way that proclaim your gospel to all the world. We thank you and we love you for all that you've done. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.